And welcome back, everyone, to another great episode of Double Down with Breslow. We've got a cowboy with us today. First time we're going to be talking about rodeo as it pertains to sports betting. Rodeo is one of the fastest growing sports in America right now, and it happens to be happening at the same time that sports betting is growing rapidly. And so the two of them are starting to come together. And yes, soon you'll be able to bet on rodeo. Thanks in part to our guest, Casey Jones, champion steer wrestler, entrepreneur, and now senior vice president of gaming for Teton Ridge. Casey, my friend, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So first, beautiful hat. So that proves you're a cowboy. But behind you, I think everybody is going to want to know what the heck is sitting behind you. I know what it is, but just to share with everybody a little bit more about your breadth, you're also quite an expert when it comes to cryptocurrencies. And I believe what you have behind you there is what we call a bored ape.
Yeah, just nerd stuff. And so, like, it's kind of funny because, you know, I tackled farm animals professionally for 20 years. And so I'm in the arena, but I also do a lot of stuff outside the arena, just being a nerd. Like, I, you know, create websites and we have marketing platforms. And then just being involved and always trying to keep up with the cutting edge technology. And like, I'm fascinated right now with AI. I've just been doing a deep dive in that. And it's just crazy. Just the news was released last week. And then this week, it just seems like it's just advancing way faster than it ever was before. In 2020, I got involved in crypto. And then 2021, when it really kind of really become the NFTs took storm, I was able to be at the forefront of getting some cheap, you know, digital assets acquired. And then it turned into a flip game. You're flipping them, and then some of them you hold. But I just think, you know, I just believe in the technology, especially when a lot of the smartest people in this space are moving to Web3, the future of, you know, of building on it. And so, yeah, just a nerd with a cowboy hat.
Well, it's an appropriate thing to talk about on the show because it is a form of gambling, as far as I can tell, because they'll release a bunch of these images of a ape in this circumstance. And the ape in each picture is basically the same, except one, he might be wearing a gold chain, or he might have a diamond grill in his mouth, and those are worth more, right? So at the time that you're buying this ape, you don't know which one you're going to get, right?
Yeah. So like, what was really hot back in spring of 2021 was, it was just NFT collections, what they do. And so, you know, the popularity was kind of around a 10,000 pictures or 10,000 item drop. And so you can kind of compare them to, you know, like the collectability of baseball cards.
Right. And or so Pokemon, et cetera.
Yeah. So non-fungible means it's not the same, but kind of alike. And so like, fungible means a dollar in my pocket and a dollar in your pocket is the same amount. Non-fungible means I have a baseball card in my pocket of Billy baseball guy that can't hit nothing. You have a baseball card of Pete Rose or Mickey Mantle. So we both have baseball cards, but yours is more valuable based on perception of the community, right? And so that's kind of like what they do with NFT. So what they did was they dropped 10,000 images of a monkey. And then people's like, well, the community says, well, these are pretty cool. But then they have different traits. And so there's only 10,000 going to be in the world, but then there's 46 gold ones. So those are really valuable. You know, there's only 46. And so, it's just based on perception of, you know, like the community makes them valuable, just like, right, you know, baseball cards make them valuable.
And when you first buy one, it is kind of like the old days of buying a pack of baseball cards, where I'm paying 20 cents for this pack of baseball cards, and there may be a Mickey Mantle in there, or there may not, right? So what's right inside that pack depends on which cards are in there as far as the value. So the same thing was true with the Bored Apes. When you bought one, you didn't know which one you're going to get.
Yeah, so they open up their mint, they call it. They mint all the images, and then you just hope to get one before they run out. And then afterwards, you kind of try to be the first to figure out the rare ones and the more valuable ones. And so then in the secondary market, you could trade and then, you know, buy and flip and try to acquire an asset, you know, what you want.
So we're not here to talk about apes, but before we move on to rodeo, just summarize it for me. When they were first released, they sold for how much per ape, and they got up to what in value?
Yeah, so you could buy Mintum at $280, and then
Know,
they kind of set $280 a piece.
Okay.
Yeah, and so then they kind of set around, and then all of a sudden the community and crypto and people's internet NFT space and the culture and the brand behind them, they're really good facilitators in the industry, and they're really building, and they're have a whole roadmap. And so people wanted to have an ape, and so they just went crazy. And then Jimmy Fallon got it, Paris Hilton got them, and they went, you know, on the night shows. And then, you know, with crypto, it kind of went down, and then, you know, the NFT sales went down, but it's, you never know. It's just a risk.
Right. But at its height, how much was the most expensive ape?
I think the cheapest ape at the height was $450,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And so like right now, and like, you know, we're holding on to, you know, we had quite of a few, and we're holding on to like six of them, and some of the, like the Golden Cowboy, it's, there's only one of 46, and holding on to it. But then, like, you know, they're creating a metaverse, and you have to have an ape in the metaverse that's going to be play to win. Actually, Saturday morning is going to be their second time. They're going to open up the metaverse they had a game the other day, and one of the top Twitch players actually bought an NFT to play the game. And he won the coveted prize of the game and sold it for $1.6 million. So that's what they're really, you know, in that space, is they're saying, you know, currently in Web 2, you're playing, you're buying Fortnite skins and stuff like that, but then you're paying for them. And then when you're done playing the game, you don't have any value. In Web 3 games, play to earn games, is actually you can buy car tires for a race game. And when you're done with a race game, you can actually sell those and trade them in for a sword for another Web 3 game.
And so, Web 3 is essentially the metaverse, right?
Web 3 is basically blockchain. So If you want to look at Web 1, which was, you know, the AOL when it first started, and ding, 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 and everybody got on there, Web 1 was just reading. So you were able to read and find articles. Web 2, what we're in now, is actually writing. Like, you get to write socially, blog, you know, you have, you know, Facebook, Instagram, you express, so it's writing about yourself. Web 3 is about ownership. So the blockchain can verify your ownership of assets. And so Web 3 is, you know, that's what they're calling the next generation of blockchain, of transparent ownership.
And that company that made those apes is now a major company, very involved in Web 3 metaverse, right? And in fact, arguably the leader?
I think so. You know, and they brought on some very high-end talent. And
what's the name of the company?
Yuga.
Yuga. How do you spell it?
Y-U-G-A. Yeah, Yuga.
What? Is it public?
No, it's not public. They had a big round of fundraising round, seed round, was it last year? And raised another, I don't know, millions, and brought in some big heavy hitters. But they're really, they're wanting to, you know, kind of lead the metaverse, you know, but they're also wanting to create a metaverse to where everybody can enter. But I just really believe in them. But the story about the apes is what kind of really made them kind of had an attachment point, to where that's why they're called the Bored Ape Yacht Clubs, because these guys made all their money in crypto, and they're just nerds, and they just want to sit in a swamp and play video games, and they don't know what to do because they're bored now. And so they buy yachts and just sit there and play games. And so that's what the Bored Ape Yacht Club is.
And where is Yuga headquartered?
I think they're out of Florida. Yep.
Miami area? Because I guess Miami is becoming known as a crypto center, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think pretty close to Miami down there. Yep. Yeah.
All right. So tell us, champion steer wrestler, were you national champion? How high did you climb in the ranks of steer wrestling?
Yeah. So I made the national finals rodeo 9 times, which is, you know, kind of it's a marathon, but you do it with a sprint pace. And so all year long, there's probably 600 people trying to make the national finals rodeo. They take the top 15 and in each event. And so you go to rodeos all over North America, and you pay entry fees. When you win, it goes to the tally, the point total to qualify for the national finals. And the national finals is in Las Vegas for 10 days. It's kind of the Super Bowl of rodeo. And so I qualified for that 9. I won the national title back in 2009. And then when I was, you know, I was just a farm kid from Colorado, and knowing I didn't want to go back to the farm with a shovel. And so I tried to work harder outside the arena and build businesses to where When I'm done tackling farm animals, I'd be able to do something, you know. And so, you know, we created the official after party of the national finals called Rodeo Vegas, and 10 nights there at the Mirage, where we, you know, we've been having the official party. And
I've had a couple beers there before, thanks to you.
Yeah. And then we just, you know, created Fantasy Rodeo. Like, if football has fantasy, let's have our, you know, industry have rodeo. So this is our 20th year doing Fantasy Rodeo. And it's crazy, when we first started, you know, we didn't even have smartphones, you know, internet was pretty new. Now, 20 years ago, when we created our, you know, sent out people to get fantasy teams, we actually sent out, you know, mailed it in the mail, and they'd write a check, fill their team out, write a check, send it back to office. And because, like, we just played around the house during the National Finals Rodeo. And we're like, if we can get this on the internet and more people can get in, then we could win more, you know. And so that's where the concept come from. 20, you know, and then in 2007, the smartphone come out. But like in our market, they don't, you know, these old boys is like, there's no way I'm going to run a credit card online. No way. I'm not going to do that, you know. And so, and they, you know, but now 98% of our entries are just your phone five times and you have a fantasy team for the national finals.
Before we take our break and dig into what you're up to today, what's the worst incident that ever happened to you steer wrestling?
Broke my leg, run a horn in my belly and nicked my femoral artery. So that was a little scary.
So you were gored.
Well,
right. Yeah, these things have horns on them, right?
Yeah.
They're pointy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've had a lot of horns run in me, broke legs, have some spinal issues due to bad decisions for, you know, you sometimes, like, because you have a horse, you're riding a horse, and then you have a hazer that's riding a horse that's helping you, you know, chase the steer and be able to, where I can jump off. And then you have the horse's mind, and you have the hazing horse's mind, and then you have the steer's mind. So there's five minds that got to come together, right? And a lot of times it doesn't really work. And so sometimes when I shouldn't have jumped, I jumped, and I could feel that now. I'm 52 years old. That, like, I get out of bed, and I'm like, that one time back there in Phoenix, Arizona, I probably should have rode by. It didn't hurt bad then, but it hurts now.
Yeah, no, it's a wild sport. You're jumping off a horse to jump onto a steer to wrestle the steer to the ground and then wrap his feet up, right?
No, it just is, you don't have to, as soon as, so it's basically momentum. As soon as they fall with four legs in one direction, that's when it completes the tie.
That's right. That's right. The other one's another roping and whole other event.
There's eight events at the pro level that they have there at the national finals.
In all right, well, let's
events, or the riding, you know, the rough bareback riding, bronc riding, bull riding, timed events, or calf roping, team roping, bell racing, breakaway roping, and then the steer wrestling.
All right, let's take our break, and then let's talk about how big rodeo has gotten. And tell some people, a lot of people don't even realize probably that, you know, they sell out Cowboys Stadium for annual rodeo that your company is now involved in. We'll be back after the break with KC Jones talking about rodeo sports betting.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.
The world's best-known investor and Wall Street expert, Warren Buffett, once said, "Wall Street is the only place that people ride to in a Rolls Royce to get advice from those who take the subway." Mr. Buffett's quote is remarkably accurate, but how many people would rather receive advice from him than someone simply guessing? Welcome to Buy, Hold, Sell, your single source for Wall Street knowledge and profitable guidance. Please join me, Todd Schoenberger, and fellow trader Tobin Smith, as well as host Veronica Dudo, for a podcast known to move the needle for investors. Tobin and I are seasoned Wall Street executives with deep investment experience, and we are prepared to share our advice to those who choose to listen. Download Buy, Hold, Sell today on the Evergreen Podcast Network or your favorite podcast channel.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I want to tell you about my podcast called Can I offer you some feedback? I'm a business consultant and executive coach with over 20 years' experience in change management, leadership development, and naturally providing feedback to high performers. My podcast is for those of you who have a complicated relationship with feedback, whether giving, receiving, avoiding, or seeking. Feedback is essential for our development. In each episode, you'll hear from real people across industries with their ideas, perspectives, and best practices on feedback. I'll also be sharing business bites with you, simple explanations of organizational tools, management techniques, and leadership philosophies that will help you and your businesses thrive. You can listen to Can I Offer You Some Feedback on your favorite podcast app or learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Todd Schoenberger, co-host of the wildly popular podcast about money and investing called Buy, Hold, Sell. And we have the show you do not want to miss. Charles Schwab's chief investment strategist, Liz Ann Saunders, sat down with Tobin and I and gave us everything we needed to know about the Fed rate decision and ongoing issues within the banking sector. Her comments clearly moved the needle for the markets, and we know they will for you, too. Do not miss this episode. Download the March 22nd edition of Buy, Hold, Sell on the Evergreen Podcast Network and where you get your favorite podcasts.
And welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Casey Jones, champion steer wrestler and now senior vice president of gaming at Teton Ridge. Let's talk about Teton Ridge a bit and what they've been doing, because it really demonstrates how big rodeo is getting in the United States, the fact that this company is putting its sole focus on this. Give us a little background on Teton.
Yeah, so Teton Ridge is just basically a Western sports company that wants to elevate, you know, the Western way of life and bring stories and, you know, kind of help the industry grow and create bigger attachment points to the new market, you know, like the Yellowstone effect, you know, like with the Kevin Costner show, you know, and Taylor Sheridan, he did a really good job of really making cowboy cool and kind of bringing it back to everybody's, you know, foresight. You know, like when I was, you know, in college and I was actually trying to put together a sponsor deck for me to go out when I'm rodeoing to go get companies to sponsor me. And so I run across Philip Coulter, and Philip Coulter, he was the one that designed the Marlboro Man marketing campaign a long time ago about, you know, and so when I dug into that, you know, that was the most successful marketing campaign in the history because it kind of highlighted and promoted the American cowboy, which the American cowboy is honest, he's rugged, he's trustworthy, you know, he's kind of an American icon. And so, you know, I think this day and age, a lot of people can kind of relate to that image and relate to that culture, to where you can, you know, this is who I want to be. I want to be, you know, those guys are worth, you know, a handshake goes a long way. And, you know, if they say it, they're going to do it. And so that's kind of what Teton Ridge's goal is to really build the community and let more people have touch points to it.
Tell us about what are the biggest rodeos today.
Yeah, so we just got done with American Western Weekend. So 2 years ago, Teton Ridge acquired the American Rodeo, which is the single largest paying rodeo. This is our 10th year, American's 10th year. And so this is our second year producing it. This year we moved it to Globe Life and made it a 3-day event, actually a 4-day event, but 3 days for ticket sales. The first day, so what's really cool about the American, it's David versus Goliath. So you have the rodeo stars that are just, you know, they look like they can't be beat. But then we're going to have qualifying events to where any Joe can beat the pro. So there's a way that the Joes can get on stage. And at the last day, it all comes down to fast time. I can beat anybody in the world. Or the guy that, you know, that's supposed to win has a chance of getting knocked off by the Joe. And so it's a great format. This year we had it 3 days. And so the first day we had the contender finals. So this was the finals to where the Joes can qualify for the last day to match up against the pros. And so that was on Thursday, and we had Maureen Morris play. She's a singer originally based out of Arlington. And then, the crew at Teton Ridge, they just do an amazing job of bringing top level talent and show production. And it was just it was just fascinating. And then on Friday, we had the American Performance Horse. And so this was the first of its kind. So Performance Horse, you know, it's kind of a separate vertical from rodeo. So it's more of a horse show. And so cutting horses, reining horses, and rein cow horse. So they actually had those associations have a qualifier to where they take the top five out of each event. And then we added $1 million for this event. And then they were going to, and then we had Cheryl Crow sing, Darius Rucker, the Ghost Hounds. And so we had, it was the largest horse show that ever attended. It had 20,000 or plus people watching. And so it was actually like super, super cool. Cause most of these horse show is about the horses, you know, the owners, you know, some of these horses are worth $5 million. It's crazy. But like, it's kind of, they have higher end clientele to own and train the horses.
What makes the horse worth $5 million? Does that mean it can earn that much money?
Well, a lot of it is the breeding, right? And so that's why these animals become so valuable, because if this horse can go on and win through horse events all year long and become the best horse in the industry, well, then if I have a bunch of mares, this stud horse is deemed the best or considered the best, you know, with the community or one of the best, I want to get my mares bred to the best. And right. So this stud horse can charge maybe $20,000 to breed to him. And he could, you know, he can collect semen and free semen, like, and then like, it's just, he's just going to be a cash cow for you. So these performance horse event are very, very important on being able to show what's the best horse is.
So what was the venue for the American in Dallas?
At Globe Life. At the
what is Globe?
Globe Life is where the Texas Rangers play.
Oh, okay. The baseball stadium.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
And was it sold out? Sold out every day?
That night was a little less. Saturday night for the American, it was sold out. It was standing room only. The American was Saturday. And so Saturday we had the Joes versus the Pros. So we had the five top guys against the five qualifiers that come from Thursday night. And we had Cody Johnson playing that night. And it was rocking. I got pictures of like, it was standing room, and it was a great event. Yeah, I just can't wait to go back next year.
Yeah. But
with that being said, you know, let's go back to the fantasy rodeo. So this is the first time we offered a fantasy contest for the performance horse. And so we opened up that whole industry to where they can have skin in the game, you know? And so a lot of our winners were, you know, were new winners and new people into our ecosystem. We've been playing rodeo for 20 years. And so this is the first time we opened that industry, and really good feedback. We had some really good winners that, you know, and then the next day we had the American big fantasy contest. And so for the American, you pick your top rodeo team, and then you pick five people, the Joes, because if the Joes won on Saturday, they got to win $1 million or split the million, depending on how many Joes won the event. So it was a cool concept with fantasy, because you were able to pick your rodeo team, and then you pick five people who you thought was going to win $1 million of the Joes. And then we give away a $185,000 grand prize. And then we paid out 20. We had a lot of prize challenges, kind of like side bets, side pots, to where I'm going to join to win the big prizes. But then, oh, what, this prize right here looks cool. We had a one prize challenge for $1,000. You could sign up to win this 101 high roller leather jacket, and plus the $20,000 pot. So we had four-wheeler side pot, but yeah, it was really good. We had some really great winners. Excited to go, you know, to do it again, but you know, to open up that market was pretty cool.
And are people able to watch that on television?
Yeah, it was streamed. It was on a couple cable networks. It was on CBS Sports. It was on Inspiration Channel. And then Teton Ridge has our own streaming app and content app called Teton Ridge Plus. They did an amazing team behind that. They did an amazing job of the quality and it was crisp, clear. A lot of people really, really like, because on the streaming app, you was able to watch every run starting, you know, from the qualifiers the first day.
So were you guys getting a lot of players for your fantasy sports game that were not even at the event? They're just sitting at home watching?
Yeah. And so, you know, and that's what we do for, you know, the National Finals Rodeo is, you know, there's 10 days, but a lot of people don't go to Vegas. And so you don't have to be at the event to play. Just like I don't, you know, if I have a fantasy team in football, I don't have to be there, you know, on Buck Stadium to watch Tom Brady play. I can have my skin in the game right here in Decatur, Texas.
Right. So what does Teton Ridge see as the future? What are they trying to accomplish? Where do they want to take all this?
Yeah. So, you know, Tito Enriquez's overall mission is really just have the best of the West, you know, and like let everybody have an attachment point and a touch point to be in, being able to enter the industry, whether through gaming, whether through some of our events that we're going to host and put on, whether it's, you know, it's through some of our, like we're starting a youth initiative to how we can help junior rodeos all the way up to high school rodeo kids, all the way up to college kids, you know, to where, what assets do we need to kind of elevate this industry and keep it relevant and like tell stories like Cowboy's cool, you know? And so, you know, they're scoping a lot of scripted and non-scripted shows, series. But yeah, I'm very excited working with some very talented individuals at Teton Ridge. And the sky's the limit. They have, you know, they have a lot of big ideas and they're pretty aggressive and just going and doing it.
Where does professional bull riding fit into all this? You know, that's one thing I think a lot of people do see on TV. I'm not sure who they have a deal with, but the PBR is something that you seem to see a lot.
Yeah. The professional bull riders, you know, it's on every weekend. One of the things that's really cool that they did last year, they started the PBR teams. So I was able just to kind of take the model of NFL teams, but like they'll be there. Fort Worth has Ariat Rattlers, and then North Carolina has a team. And then, you know, they have probably about 10 different PBR teams, and Teton Ridge bought one of the teams. It's called the Arizona Ridge Riders. And so I really like that, you know, the way that PBR teams formats kind of, because like now you can follow a team and like even regionally or versus rodeo. Like when I was rodeoing, you don't know where I'm at. I might be in Billings, Montana on Thursday night, Canby, Oregon, Friday, Caldwell, Idaho, Saturday night, California, Sunday. And so having a little bit more structure to follow a team and they're going to be on a regular channel every at a regular scheduled time is going to be a lot more accessible for fans to keep up with and to really get into the you know, the mix and the fold in our ecosystem.
And what is offered as far as betting on professional bull riding?
So they don't have anything right now. Like we're scoping some things out with the PBR teams, and then through the easiest way, we'll just spin up some fantasy games, you know, at our event and other events that want them. We're looking into, you know, micro betting the rides. You know, that's going to be kind of a heavy lift and getting all the license regulations. You know, with our fan games, like we just come up with one called Over and Under, and it's kind of like just an attachment point sweepstakes free to play to where every ride there's a score, and you either put over or under, you know, and so that gets kind of the new fans attachment point to where they can enter our, you know, Western industry for free, learn what rodeo is, what the riders are, and be able to have that funnels to where they can enter and get them hooked and like, oh yeah, I want to learn more about rodeo. If the more I learn, the more I can win.
Where are we in having a rodeo channel? Seems like just about all the sports, there's tennis channel, there's golf channel. Is there a rodeo channel out there yet?
Yeah, there's a cowboy channel. There's actually a cowboy or cowgirl channel they just launched. And then there's Ride TV. There's the PBR has a Roku channel. They also have what's the other device they have streaming? But there's several OTT channels coming out. And then like Teton Ridge Plus, we're going to start carrying more events. So yeah, there's, you know, that's a good point, because we need to have it accessible, you know, yeah, for the fans.
Yeah. Well, I mean, live sports is just blowing up. The amount that these leagues are making is just incredible. It's the television likes it because people are watching live, and therefore they tend to watch the ads, right? And then you've got the other element now, which is the sports betting side, and people also want to watch that live. So where would you say the industry is right now on betting on rodeo really blowing up? In other words, being able to do it on Caesars and MGM and FanDuel and DraftKings?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of a tough question, because like, you know, we've been doing this 20 years with fantasy and trying to get, and our market's a little more rural and a little later to adopt. You know, there has been some interest at the sports books in Las Vegas. And so, yeah, I just think what we need to get the demand there first. But also, like, that's what I like doing is trying to open the door with fantasy rodeo, with our sweepstakes games, to where here's how you can get in and get involved and be able to win prizes. And so once this kind of, we grow that market, it makes more sense to go in and, you know, and try to get the legislation regulations with sports betting.
Yeah. The tricky thing with sports betting is you got to be able to set a line. So, you know, and then you got to make sure that nobody's out there throwing a match or anything. And with anything that's kind of an upstart sport, there's some concern about that by the regulators, I'm sure.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of, you know, we're still diving deep in that, you know, and now it's just not my neck on the line. I have to make sure I don't get my bosses in trouble with what I'm doing. So we're kind of really diving. We got a really good team looking into every possibility and bringing on some really good counsel. And so, yeah, we're diving into it.
Well, there's nothing more fun than going to a rodeo. I had a great time with you in Cheyenne. I've always had a good time at in Vegas. And before we wrap up, tell everybody about what's coming up next in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, so the Better Barrel Races, it's a huge association. So it's about barrel racing. So the ladies barrel racing, and that's where they ride horse around three barrels and it's timed. Teton Ridge partnered or bought BBR last year. And so we're one to really kind of, you know, use synergy within an organization and really bring our gaming vertical to benefit their fans and kind of grow their ecosystem. So we're going to have a fantasy contest for the Better Barrel Races finals in April. That's the event's going to be in Oklahoma City. So there's going to be like 2,200 girls ride there that or runs races that week. So we're getting busy kind of altering the code to where we can kind of have that volume and make it easy for the fans to understand and come up with some good prizes.
Yeah, the rodeos are fun, especially when there's 2,200 female riders riding makes it even more fun. What's an app if anybody wants to play fantasy sports with KC? What's the app they need to download?
Yeah, it's just a website, you know, and it's a mobilized website. It's profantasyrodeo.com, and you can go on there and sign up. But we have periodic games throughout the year. Make sure they're a big game. We paid out over almost $500,000 at the national finals this year, and so you can go on there and sign up. One of the things that's really cool if you're new to this industry or want to find out more about the players you're going to put on your fantasy team. Every December, we make a 72-page fan magazine, and it has every rider that you're going to be able to put on your team. It has bios. It's about like expert picks. And so it kind of helps you get your team together. So you can go on there and sign up and be ready to receive that. It's free. We'll send it out in the mail in November to where you can start kind of penciling your team together and getting ready to win the big bucks.
Cool. Thanks, buddy. I'll let you get back to those apes back there. They look lonely. They miss you.
Yeah. They're just going to hang out. They could go to zero, but there's going to be a story behind them. Life's about stories.
One of them just winked at me, I think. All right. Casey Jones, Champion Steer Wrestler, Senior Vice President of Gaming for Teton Ridge. Thanks for joining the show. Thank you all for watching Double Down with Breslow. I'm Jim Breslow. We'll be back soon with another episode.
I want you to smash that like button.
Imagine how fast we could solve the world's biggest problems if more SaaS startups would gain traction sooner. Welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. This podcast is dedicated to sharing experiences from B2B SaaS CEOs who are going above and beyond to deliver change that is noticed. You will hear their secrets and learn what is required to build a SaaS business that the world starts talking about and keeps talking about, and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.